Morning.
Welcome to worship today. Do you ever get distracted?
All the time.
Distracted. You do? Oh, that's comforting to know. All the time. So I wonder what a distraction is and how it impacts our lives. So this morning, as our call to worship, I want you to think about some of the distractions that you would call a distraction in your life. Other people might not find them distractions at all. Yesterday afternoon, as I was driving along the roads, there were a whole heap of people wearing black and white coloured clothes and another bunch of people wearing red and yellow clothes. And they seemed, in the early part of the afternoon, very friendly and amicable and heading to a particular direction, all going one particular way. And at that stage, there was no other distractions because they were focused on where they were going. They were wearing their colours. And to be honest with you, I was so surprised to see so much black and white heading to the Carrara Stadium, Metricon Stadium. I just expected there to be a dribble of black and white and lots of red and yellow. So, are there any Magpie supporters here today? The Magpies were black and white. So their colours were very obvious and we knew who they were supporting. I wonder whether our Christian colours are being worn as brightly and as vividly and as deliberately as those Magpies and the Magpies and the Gold Coast Sun supporters. What about on Wednesday night? Blue and maroon. Colours. Identifying who you are. Russ-Ann and I went to Hillview House on Thursday morning just after the State of Origin game, and so we were able to reflect a little bit on the colours and the obvious support that you would have because of how you look on the outside. Well, we're here at worship today. We've come from all different life experiences, all different backgrounds. We've come here to focus on worshipping Jesus. And this banner over here says, Jesus is Lord. Is that the focus of our attention today? Or are there distractions that deviate and take us away from allowing Jesus to be Lord? So on the screen, we're going to put up a number of so-called distractions. And I'd like you to reflect on those, ones that may be distractive to you. And so I'll start the call to worship with this screen. And then when the next screen comes up, there's a whole list of one lines. I'd like you to just look at those words for a while and say to yourself, well, which things are distractions for me? And then we'll call out some of your distractions. It'll be a cacophony of noise, but that doesn't matter. Because we've come here to worship God and to say that Jesus is Lord, and I'd like us to identify some of the distractions that we might want to leave here at the feet of Jesus so that we can more fully recognise that Jesus is Lord in our lives. So the first slide says, there is so much to distract us, God. Deadlines and billboards, glossy magazines and colourful websites, the beep of an incoming message. Please, could you put your phones on silent? Thank you, so we don't get distracted this morning. A long to-do list, the friends to stay in touch with. So there on the surface are some distractions. And now we'll go to the birthday parties and the next one. So just have a look at that, adults and children. If you're a parent and you've got a young child that may not be able to read, maybe you can whisper in their ear. Talk to them about some of the things that may be distractions from allowing you to worship God more fully. So maybe there's one that you identify with, or maybe there's two or three. And so we're just going, I'll count. I'll go 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and then you just yell out your distractions, okay? 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Worries.
Fix my car. Homework. Cooking dinner tonight.
So let's together share in unison. The next slide, it says, help. We come here, Holy One, to regroup and regather. Welcome us into a time of reorganizing our priorities and listening to your calling, sifting word. Welcome us in. Let us pray. Holy God, we enter into this separate place, this separate time, to remind ourselves of your continuous accompanying presence. Out of the world's hubbub, we can lose track of your lessons, your care and your challenges, and your commitment to us. Ground us again in your welcome. Wrap us again in the comforting knowledge of your grace. Help us to know that in you we are home. Open the eyes of our heart, Lord. We want to see you high and lifted up in our lives today and in this coming week. Amen. Let us stand together and sing together. Open the eyes of our heart, and may our homes be filled with dancing.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. See you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing holy, holy, holy. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing holy, holy, holy.
Holy,
holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. I want to see you.
Holy, holy.
Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. I want to see you.
So, Lord, may the distractions that have impeded our worship of you today be left at the foot of your cross, at the door of this church. And may we allow our eyes, our inner eyes, our spiritual eyes to be opened again, so that the joy of your presence and the fulfillment of your plans and purposes for our lives will take root in our hearts today. And so, O God, may our home, this home, our homes where we live, our communities, be filled with the joy and the dancing of your Spirit. And we pray that we will worship you today in spirit and in truth. Our next song is Hear Our Praises. If you've never heard this song before, maybe you'll just allow us to lead you and then join in on the chorus.
May our homes be filled with dancing. May our streets be filled with praise. May injustice bow to Jesus as your people turn and pray. From the mountain to the valley, hear our praises rise to you. From the heavens to the nations, hear the singing, fill the air. May your light shine in the darkness as we walk before the cross. May your glory fill the whole earth as the water of the sea. From the mountain to the valley, hear our praises rise to you. From the singing, fill the air. Alleluia, 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 alleluia.
Please be seated. Well, do you feel that some of the distractions that may have brought you in your mind as you came to worship this morning, some of those have now been left behind? Have you been able to put some of those things aside? Maybe the peripheral things or the superficial things? And as we worship together this morning, I hope that God will do a deeper work in your heart and in your mind, and maybe in our actions as we leave today more unified and more whole, as our spiritual eyes are opened, as we embrace the joy of God's celebration from the heavens to the nations. May our praises fill the earth, fill the air. So I just want to see how many children we've got here this morning. Is Sharon here? Sharon Moritz? She's still upstairs. Okay. Can you hear me on the microphone? No, I can't either. There, that's good. So I haven't really been here for the last 15 minutes. The Lord's been leading you, and that's beautiful. I wonder what the Lord said to you whilst I've been turned off. I hope it's something of a preparation, digging up the fallow ground, allowing God to plant a seed of some new light and life. So Sharon's okay. Well, I'll now, kids, can you just come down the front? Who have we got there? Joshy and Alex and Jordan, Isaac. You going to come down the front? Hey. So it's a boys' club today, hey? No girls. Well, that's interesting, isn't it? Are you going to come down, Isaac? Okay. Well, boys, we've been talking a little bit about distractions, and on the screen I had some pretty adult kind of things there. What are some of the things that distract you from, let's think, I'll turn the mic on. What are some of the things that distract you when you're playing sport? Okay, do you like playing sport? You don't like playing sport? Do you like playing sport?
Yes,
Yes, okay. Isaac, do you like playing sport? No. Okay, what distracts you when you play sport? What are some of the things that might distract you?
The noise.
Yeah, the noise of what? The crowd yelling and screaming?
Yeah.
Yeah. Rightio. What about schoolwork? What are some of the things that might distract you from your schoolwork? Do you have any ideas, Jordan?
The other children.
The other children. It's always their fault, isn't it? Yep, that's right. What about you, Josh?
My friend Saxon.
Your friend Saxon. I probably should have said don't name names. Okay, what about when you're playing on your computer games? What are some of the distractions on your computer games? Have you got any ideas? What does, do you play with the computer games sometimes?
Yeah, Minecraft.
Minecraft. Do you have any distractions when you're playing Minecraft? No. No distractions. Oh, I thought so. No distractions. Yeah?
Some of the games I play.
Some of the games you play. Other games, they distract you. Well, for those of you uneducated people, Minecraft is the game to end all games, isn't it, boys? Do you play Minecraft?
No, but one of my Pokemon games distract me, how the people just run around in circles.
That's right.
And get distracted from them in the game.
Yes, in the game. Because those games are designed to be a big distraction, not just your time and energy, but the game is designed to distract you so that you can get shot or get killed or whatever it is. A lot of those games are designed that way to be distractions. So there's always someone sneaking around ready to shoot you or whatever have you. So that's the essence of those games. We're growing up with just distractions all around. Now, for the adults, if you've got a game on your... What game do you like playing? What's playing the zombies?
Plants vs. Zombies.
Plants vs. Zombies. And is it all about distracting you from trying to get to a goal?
Yeah.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? And what level are you on now?
18.
18. How high can you go?
I don't remember.
You don't remember. Well, my wife's playing a computer game at the moment. Cheryl, what's it called? Truth or false, isn't it? Oh, I don't mean you're playing a game right this minute in the church service. I mean, at the moment, there's a new game that you're playing called True or False, isn't it? How many levels are there, Cheryl, in that game? Up to 100. What level are you on now? 21. And how long have you been playing this game, True or False? How many? A week, and you're on level 21. Great. So in 5 more weeks, I'll have my wife back. Oh, did I say that? I said I'll have my life back. It's a great unifier for your marriage. True and false, because there's a time limit on it, so you don't get a chance to think about it. You just got a few seconds. And it's really educational because, you know, you answer 10 questions, true or false. If you get them all right, you've learnt something. That you got them all right. If you get them wrong, you've got about 5 seconds to reflect on whether Abraham Lincoln was the 57th president or not, or whether Brisbane's the capital of Sudan, you know. So it's very educational, so you can learn a lot of things. But there's lots of distractions that take us away from some of the things you want to do. And our computers and our phones have been a wonderful gift for communication and education. But used the wrong way, they can be terrible distractions in lots of different ways. Well, Sharon has returned now, so we might pray a blessing and on you as you go with Sharon to Jam Club. And we will continue in our worship service, and we look forward to seeing you at morning tea and find out how God's been growing you in your journey of faith and life today. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you for these children who you've given us the responsibility to care for. Help us to enable not just our time of worship to focus that Jesus is Lord, but to give these young men the opportunity to learn more about your word and your people and how we can more fully engage in what it means to grow into godly young men. And so as they hear about Peter the fisherman and all of the different distractions that Peter had to deal with in his spiritual life, we pray that these young men also would learn something about how they can take control of the things that would take them off the path of serving you. So be with them and their groups today. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, head on that way. We'll see you shortly, guys.
Which hasn't got any distractions.
Could I have the mic on just for a second? Alex has got a game that doesn't have any distractions. Tell us about it, Alex.
All you have to do is build houses and make families.
Build houses and make families. Now, I reckon that's probably a good game to play without distractions.
Yeah.
Yeah. And when I was joking with my wife Cheryl a minute ago, yeah. I guess that's the kind of game that I was talking about, but I didn't name it like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there you go. Building homes. May our homes be filled with dancing. May our streets be filled with joy. That's what we sang before. And being part of the Christian community, that's our desire and goal, to build beautiful homes where God's name is honoured and glorified. And what did you say? Families.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, that's what we are here. So we're all your uncles and aunties and all that sort of thing. Have a great time, Alex. Very good. Lou Evans. Is she gone now? Oh, there she is. Would you get the blanket, please? On the Kids Fun Day, we made the opportunity when we had these 80 to 100 children and some of their parents aware that a member of our congregation, Linda Madigan and Daryl Madigan, their granddaughter is constantly in and out of hospital with a very serious illness. And we have Caitlin Walsh on the back of our bulletin often. And so she has been in intensive care again, and I really don't know the name of the disease that she's got, but her brain just keeps attacking a certain part of her body. She's now 6 years of age, and she's been fighting this for almost all the 6 years of her life. And so she's not a little baby anymore; she's a young girl. And early on, before she lost her sight, she's now blind. And her right side is limp, and that's the side that's been attacked. She constantly has seizures. She's constantly prone to picking up the slightest infection. And so when she did go to school regularly, there were more days that she had to stay home because a child in the school was sick and she couldn't go to school. And so she's been in intensive care again. She came out this week. And Daryl and Linda will be coming here shortly to pick up this blanket that we made at the Kids Fun Day. And I'd like to just bring to your attention, and for those of you who are visiting or new, our congregation has developed a prayer blanket ministry. It's just evolved as the Lord has led us. We get two pieces of beautiful, colourful material, as you can see, pink on one side and flowers on the other. And we, Lou and a few other ladies, they cut all these little fringes and then we tie them in a knot. And each knot has a prayer as the knot is made. And at the Kids Fun Day, we made this blanket. And all of the children and the playgroup kids and their parents were educated about, firstly, what prayer is, secondly, what we do as a church as part of our mission. And so these prayers have not been prayed by you, in essence. They've been prayed for by a bunch of children who live in our community and mums and dads. And they've prayed specifically for little Caitlin. And so Daryl and Linda are going up there to Brisbane this morning, and we wondered what passage of scripture to put on the back. Now, for those of you who were here last week, I was able to let you know that Laura Lewis's blanket had the exact words from Isaiah 41 verse 10 that I will hold you with my powerful right hand, which was the very last words that I read to Laura before she died and I went on holidays. And on the back of her blanket were those exact words. I had no idea of that at the time. And so today, the words that we've put on the back of this blanket is, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not lose hope. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Joshua 1 verse 9. And it says that it's from this church. This passage of scripture from John chapter 1 verse 9 has been chosen. Did you choose it, Lou?
We
discussed it.
It followed on. We thought about another one and it just didn't seem right. So.
A couple of ladies that I'd talked to, we had one verse, but it just didn't seem to fit some reason. We were balking at it and had a further discussion with Bradley and talking it through and looking at other cross-references. This one seemed to fit, and then...
And then I went back to my baptism services and I pulled out the baptism of Caitlin Hope Walsh on the, I'll just guess, the 27th of July 2008. And the song that we sang while Caitlin was carried around this church was the Colin Buchanan song, Be Strong and Courageous. Generally we sing Father Welcomes All His Children or another song, but Adam and Tamara chose the song, Be Strong and Courageous, from Joshua 1 verse 9. So later today, this blanket will be given to Caitlin and her family as a gift from us as a congregation, but more particularly from the children who attended our Kids Fun Day. So isn't that beautiful? And so that family is terribly distracted by all of the immediate health needs of little Caitlin. There's the wrestle about why is God letting this happen to this beautiful, beautiful girl? She's got a team of medical specialists who've been looking after her at the Mater Children's Hospital for a number of years, but now she's gone to the Royal Hospital. And that team from the Mater don't want to let go of what they've done in their care. And so the two teams are working together for little Caitlin. And there are people who have days off and they still want to be involved because this child is so precious. So I just want to pray for Caitlin now and for her family as they continue to wrestle with this terrible illness and the circumstances of their lives. Dear Jesus, most of us in this congregation don't remember Caitlin 6 years ago when she was baptised here. But now she's a young girl who is a beautiful child with a bright mind. And yet she cannot see, she cannot move herself very well. And yet the original Caitlin is still there somewhere. And her medical specialists see her on occasions. And her parents know that she's there. And you, O God, know her better than anyone does. And so, O God, in our helplessness today as we worship you, we pray for this family. We pray for Daryl and Linda, who shortly will be driving to Brisbane to give some respite to their daughter and son-in-law and to help their three grandchildren in that home in Morningside. And so, O God, as a congregation, help us to come down on our knees at times by your Spirit urging us to pray for her, not knowing the circumstances, but not being distracted by our problems and worries, but being attuned to your Spirit so that we can as a family support each other. It's part of your kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. And so, O God, we thank you for the children that tied the knots in that blanket just some few weeks ago and for the private prayers that each of those children and adults prayed as they tied those knots. We thank you that on that occasion, for that short moment of time, we had the precious opportunity to speak into those families' lives and to teach them something about what this church does in responding to your love. And so, God, we just pray your blessing upon that family, upon Adam and Tamara and Bethany and Josh and Caitlin this week. In Jesus' name, amen. Tamara is a lecturer at University of Queensland, and this Tuesday she's got to do a series of lectures. And so in the midst of her caring for her daughter, she has this responsibility as a lecturer at Queensland Uni, and that's her job, her livelihood. Her husband, Adam, is a computer expert, and God is still present. He currently is working for a company that are working in Germany, and so he works at night because it's daytime in Germany over there, and when you're a computer guru, you can work wherever you like in the world, as long as you can communicate through the internet. And so Adam's able to work at night on his computer projects all around the world because of the company that he works for in America. So God is still at work despite the horrible nature of our earthly brokenness. Lou, Are you back in? Lou, I just wanted you to share what God's been saying to you about... Well, you see, I said you'll have a chance to do that.
Anyway.
Learning doing.
Just with a quick chat with Bradley this morning of what his focus was today, and in the last few days I've just had the feeling or the words coming that we need to go deeper, those of us who are in church, because often we're always hearing about going out to help others and all that sort of thing. And I often feel there's a need, not just myself, but just sometimes there's an atmosphere that maybe that's where we should be heading more so. And that probably fits with what came out of our survey a while back too, of our spiritual life ourselves. And then I always listen to 4CRB in the morning, and I'm on my way here. And this morning they're talking about the lost and finding the lost, the sheep and the coin and the son, which I presume most of you know those stories, and explaining it in a different way, and that one is focused on Jesus, one the Holy Spirit, and one's on God. But the one that I took notice of this morning was the lost coin, because probably we only think of it like coins in our purse, that's our extra change and why would you bother? But the historical significance is that the coin was on a chain of coins, I don't forget how many, and it was part of your dowry and either worn around your neck or around your head as respect or whatever. So if one of these coins were lost off it, it ruined the whole thing. And they related it to like your engagement ring and the value now. That's what would be relevant if a diamond fell out of your ring. It wouldn't look near as good and you'd be embarrassed and it'd be shame on your family. So that's the historical thing of that. So... Now I've forgotten it. That fitted anyway, that and the going deeper and being a lost part of our whole family. And when you are a bit lost along the way as a Christian, you're not living up to your potential, I suppose. And that's how I've been feeling myself lately. And you've got to stop and remind yourself to get back on track and that sort of thing. So because I've been surprised how much grief has come back to me now, and it shouldn't be, but depends on the circumstances at the time. But then you've got to challenge that and get back on track.
Thank you, Lou. So going deeper, I thought I can tell you that we need to go deeper, but that's not what the Lord has spoken to me about today, but the Lord has spoken to Lou this week about going deeper, and I want God's word to be open to us, to feed on that, to satisfy our hunger. And so in this time of going deeper, I'm reflecting on the fact that in the Muslim community all around the world, we are in the midst of Ramadan. And last week we had the opportunity to hear two families who were encouraged by God to go and live in other countries. And, you know, they've lived in the midst of Muslim communities, whereas Christians, they've had to not wear maroon and blue or black and white and red and white, but from their inner spirit, they've had to demonstrate their Christian colours by their lifestyle and their behaviour to the communities in which they're living. And it's not a Bible-bashy kind of way. It's a very deep spiritual connection between God as they've gone deeper in their journey and as they have got alongside of their neighbours in their communities. So I'd just like to let those know, there's a lot of people here today who weren't here last week, that we are in the midst of the Muslim... is it a festival, Ralph? It's a festival of Ramadan, and it's a period of 30 days from sunrise in the morning to sunset in the afternoon where Muslim people fast, don't eat any food, and the time, and they don't drink any fluids, and the time that they would normally attribute to eating their meals, as we do as Christians when we fast, they spend that time getting deeper in their relationship with Allah, with God. And there are a number of Christians over the last number of decades who have seen the opportunity for us as Christians to, in an act of Christian solidarity with Muslim people, to adopt a deeper focus over this period of Ramadan. So last week I had a number of books out there, the 30-day prayer focus, and they all disappeared, so that's great that they went. And that's a very starting point for this kind of focus. It just gives you a lot of information about countries and Muslim people, and gives you some prayer focus. Ralph, on the other hand, is using some support from Dave Andrews, who on the internet is putting some daily reflections, which is much deeper than what the book I gave you last week. And it's very challenging. And trying to find the common things between our Christian devotion and our relationship with God and the Muslim experience and relationship with God, and trying to find those common areas and enable dialogue rather than schism and division to begin. So I just put that out there because I guess I'm trying to raise our awareness so that we can go deeper in our Christian understanding of what it is to be a neighbour. This week happens to be another week where our political leaders have made some strong stand and statement about their interaction with asylum seekers, and I think we as Christians need to find a way of responding to that. And there will be an election coming up soon, and the Uniting Church has prepared a range of discussion points, and we'll find a way of incorporating those into our reflective times before the election. Another way of going deeper for some people is going to take place this Thursday for 11 weeks. We're going to run an alpha course here. We distributed, I think, about 3,000 application of flyers to our local community, and we've had 8 people respond from outside in the community who are going to do the alpha course. I really would love some members of this congregation to commit to coming to the alpha course so that there is a community that these people who are coming to this church on Thursday night can feel that they might want to be a part of as the course develops. Alberto, our Spanish pastor, he's got 2 people that are coming, and Joseph, our Korean pastor, no one in his congregation feel that they want to do it at this particular point in time, but both of those pastors and myself are working together to lead this course starting this Thursday. So I have a couple of application forms here. If you are interested, it's going to be on Thursday nights, starting this Thursday, for the next 10 weeks, minus the school holidays in September. We'll take a little break and then we'll come back the first 2 weeks in October. We're going to take up our offering now, and as we do, we'll sing, "As the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs after you." So this is again another opportunity to put aside the distractions and to come and sit at Jesus' feet, putting aside our love of money and be reminded that God loves the cheerful giver, and our congregation could not operate without your giving in so many different ways, in time, in prayer, in finance, in love, in generosity of spirit, and in commitment. Let us stand together and sing, "As the deer pants for the water."
As the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs after you. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. You alone are my strength and shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. You're my friend, and you are my brother, even though you are a king. deserve so much more than anything. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. I want you more than gold or silver, only you can satisfy. You alone are the real joy giver and the apple of my eye. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you.
Let us pray. Holy One, we give you thanks for all that you've given to us. Gifts of love and time, money and abilities. Into these bags and into this place, this community, we return a portion of those gifts. Bless those who receive them, just as we are blessed in the act of sharing them. Amen. Would you please be seated? Thank you.
Yeah, that's good. I'll find money enough.
Ralph, would you like to come and lead us in our prayers for others? Thanks.
Friends, we've got the Focus families on the back of our pew bulletin. Each family in the congregation rotated through every week. Not each family every week, but, you know, that's how every family gets on there eventually. And the list of people that people have put down for prayer on at the door as you come in, you can write down on the list anybody that's on your heart. And we'll have some time of silence to pray for people as well. Let's pray. Our Father, dear God and Father of us all, the one true God, thank you for your absolute care and interest in each one of us, your knowledge of us, and your desire that we come to you with our concerns. This week we'd like to pray for Vanessa Nydick, for Kanan, Lily and David Wise, for Jan Davis and Faye Nicholson, and for Nikki Odinsky. We pray for Beatrice Booth, for Frank Randall, Warwick Glaives, for Barry, Mark and Gail, for Craig, for Bill, for Mark, for David, Tobias, Arthur and Jonah, who are travelling, for Jeff and Janice, for their health, for Lorraine and Des, for Andrew and Ari, for Trish and her two daughters, for John and Jean Inger, for the Van Dyken family, and anybody that we would name now in the silence of our hearts. Father, thank you for your absolute care and knowledge and interest in us. To you be all glory, power and honour forever and ever. Amen.
morning. Good morning. The Bible reading this morning, as you can see, comes from the New Testament, the Gospel of Luke. In the red pew Bibles that are throughout the seats, if you want to follow it along, it's Luke chapter 10, Matthew, Mark, Luke, third Gospel. On my edition, it's page 93. And we're going to read it twice in two different versions. So Jasmine will be reading the first version for us today.
As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her."
Jesus and the disciples had been travelling for a while, and they stopped at the home of their friends Martha and Mary. The women were excited to see Jesus and the disciples and gave them a warm welcome. This was a lot of guests all at once, but Martha knew that no matter what, you give your visitors a good meal. Immediately she set about preparing some food for her guests. She made some biscuits and put them in the oven and was preparing some vegetables. She could have used some help, and noticed Mary sitting with Jesus and the disciples in the other room. Martha was exasperated. She turned to her sister with a rather angry face. "Mary," she said, "our guests have had a long journey and they're hungry. Here I am doing all the work while you're just sitting there." She turned to Jesus. "Don't you think she should be giving me a hand?" Jesus smiled. "I appreciate your thoughtfulness, Martha," he said, "and your caring. You offer wonderful hospitality. But don't get upset with Mary. She's welcoming me by listening to my stories. I can't fault her for that." "I'll tell you what," Jesus continued and turned to the disciples. "Why don't we help Martha prepare the meal? Then after we've had our lunch, I'll share some more stories." Martha heaved a sigh and broke into a smile. Thank you.
This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Heavenly Father, as we've come into our worship experience today, we've been reminded of the distractions that would take us from focusing and sitting at your feet. Lord, as we've heard the Bible read, and as we now reflect on those words and the direction of your Spirit in our lives, feed us and nourish us with your beautiful hospitality of inclusive love, inviting the stranger to come in, welcoming those who are rejected, giving sight to the blind, liberty to the oppressed. May we be your disciples today and live in those ways without distraction. Amen. On the front of your pew bulletin is a picture, if you'd like to just grab that. And some of you who are regular attenders here will notice that the style of artwork is something that's a little bit common to what we have often. So put your hand up if you recognise the style of this picture on the front. A couple of people, not a lot. Well, for those of you who do reflect, when we type into the computer a particular passage of scripture, Trish goes images, and then up come all these images. Well, a lot of the Bible pictures that come up are fairly old-fashioned style of pictures, and so Trish and I try to opt for a more contemporary version. And this particular painter, his name is He Ki, or I don't know how to pronounce Qi, but we often find beautiful pictures of his. He's a Chinese artist, and we really see a lot in his artwork. So for those of you who are more visual people, Generally, on the front of our bulletins, we try to connect with our theme and our message and our scripture. And for those of you who want to go deeper, take your bulletin home, sit with your Bible open, and look at the picture and ask yourself, what is this painter trying to tell me? God, what can I learn from this picture? Because some of us learn not just from auditory or with our hands, with our eyes. And so I hope that our worship can go deeper through lots of different ways. So here we have on the front of the bulletin this picture of Mary and Martha and Jesus. And in the style of the painter, Jesus is being portrayed as a teacher. And Mary is sitting at his feet with her hand across her eyes. No? She's got a hand across her heart. So the painter is trying to tell us something, I think. She's not covering her eyes because she doesn't want to see Jesus. She's covering her heart because he's touching her heart. We sang this morning, "Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you." And you can see Mary's got her head elevated. She's looking to heaven because she has a sense of God being something other, beyond her. But also she's at the feet of Jesus. And for those of you who've come across this passage of Scripture before in Luke's Gospel, you'll know that to sit at the feet of one was to acknowledge that person as a teacher. Jesus, the teacher, teaching. But in those days, teachers would generally teach men because the woman's place was in the... Well, Jesus isn't in the synagogue. He's in the... of Mary and Martha, the home of Mary and Martha. So both Mary and Martha are in their rightful place, and Jesus has come to their place with his disciples. So I thought I'd like to contextualize this passage of Scripture a little bit, because last week we had the Good Samaritan story, and this, in Luke's Gospel, there's a lot of coupling of stories. I don't know whether you've noticed as you've read Luke through this year whether you can see these couplets taking place. And so here is the sequence to the Good Samaritan story. Let's go back just a little bit to chapter 9 and after the transfiguration, where Jesus' physical presence changed, the visual appearance of Jesus took on a new appearance. In Luke's Gospel, that's the dividing line. Jesus, up until that point in time, has been doing a lot of things to demonstrate that he is someone other than a normal person, that he is from God. And so the transfiguration takes place, and then Jesus starts on a journey. And it says here that in chapter 9, it says that he set his, here is verse 51. "As the time drew near for his return to heaven, Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem." So in Luke's Gospel, that's a turning point. Up until that point, Jesus has been demonstrating and doing a lot of things. But here in Luke chapter 9, verse 51, subsequently, Jesus begins a physical journey towards Jerusalem. And the passage that we've had today begins with, "And Jesus and his disciples continued on their way to Jerusalem." So Luke's trying to give us a message here, just like the painter is trying to give us a message here. Luke's message to us is that Jesus and his disciples are on their way somewhere. And just in the chapter 10, Jesus sends out the 72 to demonstrate what it is to be a disciple. They're going out in faith. They're stepping out in faith, doing the things that Jesus has been doing. And here we have, in this next part of chapter 10, Jesus teaching about the most important commandment. In fact, it wasn't Jesus that actually said what the most important commandment was. It was the lawyer last week who said to Jesus, "What must I do to receive eternal life or to inherit eternal life. It's very interesting to hear the lawyer saying, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Eternal life is a gift from God to his children. It is an inheritance that is passed on. And so if you are a son or a daughter of God, you are eligible to receive the inheritance. In my Ramadan reflections this week, I've used this book that Ralph gave me last week, and there's a little bit here that says, Archbishop Desmond Tutu says, God's dream is that all of us will realize we are a family. So this is Archbishop Desmond Tutu, very committed Christian, saying, God's dream is that all of us will realize we are a family. Another great black man once said, I have a dream, didn't he? Just 45 years ago, I think around about. Here's Archbishop Desmond Tutu, who I saw when I was 24 years of age at the NCYC in Ballarat. It was freezing cold. It was wet. It was terrible. But I got to see Archbishop Desmond Tutu. And it didn't matter what distractions were around, I got to see this man who had transformed and reshaped the attitude and the thinking of his country in South Africa. And so here on this page, I read, God's dream is that all of us will realize we are a family. We are made for togetherness. In God's family, there are no outsiders. Luke's whole gospel is about bringing the outsider in. It's about giving women a place in God's kingdom and God's realm. And here we have two women being invited into a very special, intimate place with Jesus. In God's family, there are no outsiders. Black and white, rich and poor, gay and straight, Jew and Arab, Muslim and Christian, Hindu and Buddhist, they all belong. Now more than ever, we need to remember that God's love is too great to be confined to any one side of a conflict or to any one religion. People are shocked when I, Archbishop Desmond Tutu, say that George Bush and Saddam Hussein are brothers. But God says, all are my children. It is shocking, but it's true. That was my reflection for yesterday. Boy, oh boy, did that get me. Just after my wonderful Prime Minister, Kevin Rudd, who I have met as well, like Archbishop Desmond Tutu. Boy, I've been blessed to meet people and drop some names. And I've met you, and I've met you as well. All part of God's family. Black and white, Jew and Christian, Muslim and Hindu, all created by the same God. But it's hard, isn't it? Because we've got our prejudice. We've got our inside, our in-group. So hard to welcome the outsider in. I do the best that I can, but my prejudices are there too. And you're part of my family. I'm part of your family. Together we need to wrestle with what it means to love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, with all our strength. That's every part of us, the whole of our being. And love our neighbour as we love ourselves. This morning I was speaking to one of our parishioners who has some Bolivian neighbours. And they've been more conscious of trying to develop a relationship. And so took the opportunity this week when the Bolivian grandfather was pushing his grandchild up the street in the pram because he's recently had a heart operation. And needs Bosnian, and needs to exercise his heart. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength. So he's exercising his heart physically. And so meeting this Bosnian family and then engaging in conversation, saying, well, I suppose you're in the midst of Ramadan. Eyes light up. Do you know about that? Instead of feeling the rejection and the shunning because of another religion, feeling a sense of possibility, of acceptance, of conversation. Wow, sounds like God is at work in that relationship. So how can we translate that into this story here today? Mary and Martha, two sisters. One of them sensing something very special happening in her home. And the other one also sensing something very special, wanting to give from what she can in her gift of hospitality. Jesus, I love the way that in that Bible reading, when Susan read it, that Jesus smiled. And he didn't chastise Martha in the same way that I've heard it for the last 50 years every time I read it from the Bible. That's why deliberately I asked Susan to read it from a paraphrase. Because Jesus has a way of making the outsider feel that they're a part of his realm and kingdom. So we don't read the Bible in Greek or Hebrew, we read it in English. And so we're at the mercy of a translator that's put their inflection or emphasis on a different syllable, and therefore distorted or changed maybe what God was trying to say. And so as we've come to worship today, as we try to follow the way of Jesus, as we try to not be distracted by the things, well-intentioned as Martha was, but Mary had a sense of going deeper at that moment. She had a sense that sitting at Jesus' feet was what she needed to do. He was on his way to Jerusalem. He was starting to use his words because he is the Word created. Word became flesh, dwelling among us. The outsider coming in to our realm and inviting us into his realm. Welcoming the outsider, giving women a place to learn. I'd like us to hear a clip now of an experience that happened last week. A 16-year-old girl from Pakistan who last year was shot by the Taliban and now has got some of her health and well-being back, and she addressed the United Nations last week. Let's hear what she has to say. She wasn't singing. Can you turn the lights down a little bit? Thanks.
Dear sisters and brothers, I'm not against anyone. Neither am I here to speak in terms of personal revenge against the Taliban or any other terrorist group. I'm here to speak up for the right of education of every child. I want education for the sons and daughters of the Taliban and all the terrorists and extremists. I do not even hate the Talib who shot me. Even if there is a gun in my hand and he stands in front of me, I would not shoot him. This is the compassion that I have learned from Muhammad, the Prophet of Mercy, and Jesus Christ and Lord Buddha. This is the legacy of change that I have inherited from Martin Luther King, Nelson Mandela, and Muhammad Ali Jinnah. This is the philosophy of non-violence that I have learned from Gandhiji, Bacha Khan, and Mother Teresa. And this is the forgiveness that I have learned from my father and from my mother. And this is what my soul is telling me. Be peaceful and love everyone. Dear sisters and brothers, we realize the importance of light when we see darkness. We realize the importance of our voice when we are silenced. In the same way, when we were in Swat, the north of Pakistan, we realized the importance of pens and books when we saw the guns.
No, it's just awesome to have a 16-year-old girl address the world in such a way. And for many of us as Christians to feel that we've got it. We've got the gospel and all of the rest of them can go to hell. We've missed it. We haven't loved God with all our heart, soul, mind and strength. We've just taken a portion for ourselves in a greedy grab and a selfish act. This young girl is probably working through Ramadan at this moment. 16 years of age and she's broad enough to see the world from the eyes of God. Little Alex this morning said that I've got a game on my computer that's not distracting. It's about building homes and families. Where did this young girl learn about forgiveness? From her parents, her mother and her father. We are the body of Christ. Jesus is the ultimate forgiver. As he hung on the cross, beaten, bruised, battered, and about to gasp his last breath, he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing." But Jesus knew exactly what he was doing. He was on the way, resolutely going to Jerusalem, as in our story this morning of Mary and Martha, on the way to give himself into the hands of sin. Are you willing to give up your sin today so that you can be a living sacrifice for Jesus, for God, for the Holy Spirit and the gospel, the good news that our world needs to hear? As I hear of the statistics of how many people have never heard the Christian message, every new baby that's born has to somehow hear it. And so our population is growing exponentially. So there are more and more people every day who've not heard the gospel. We can't stay cloistered in this building and think that we're sharing the gospel by staying here. Yes, we need to come and put our distractions aside. We need to sit at the feet of Jesus and be taught by his word as we have this morning. But then we need to not just do, as I guess the other part of the message today, which I won't elaborate, was the Good Samaritan story. The lawyer was told by Jesus, go and do the same. So there was a doing. And so a lot of us Christians think that by doing things, we're going to please God. Well, Luke has deliberately put this story right next to the doing one, and he's placed a being one, being at the feet of Jesus. Can you see the reason, the coupling that, yes, if we all just had the Good Samaritan story, we'd just be doing ourselves into the grave. Good works, pleasing God. But today we've got the couplet, which tells us to sit at my feet, listen to my words. Martha was too busy doing at that moment. Okay, so that's my message. The clock's telling me that I've said enough. And I'd like us to reflect now on what God might be saying to you this morning, not Bradley Foote, but what's God saying to you today? We're going to just allow Anne McKellar to play our next song just quietly a few times through, and then we'll just start to sing. I'll begin. So, Anne, if you just play our next song quietly to give people a chance to reflect on our message today. If you'd like to stand and sing, you're welcome to do so. If you'd like to stay seated, then do that too.
All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him, in His presence daily live. I surrender all, I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Saviour, I surrender all to Jesus, I surrender. Feet I bow, worldly pleasures all forsaken, take me, Jesus, take me now. I surrender all to Jesus. I surrender. Make me Savior, wholly Thine. Let me feel the Holy Spirit. Truly know that Thou art mine. I surrender all to Jesus. I surrender, Lord, I give myself to Thee. Fill me with Thy love and power. Let Thy blessing fall on me.
Please be seated and continue in an attitude of prayer. Oh God, we've come here to this place to worship You today, not really knowing what to expect or where You were going to take us, but You've taken us on a journey today, on the way to Jerusalem, on the way to crucifixion, on the way to surrender, on the way to seeing glory, on the way to experiencing death and resurrection and new life. And so, O God, as we come to this part of our service, wanting to let the peripheral stuff, the outer stuff, to be whittled away, to be stripped away, so that the deeper inner openness of our hearts can be opened. Lord, prize open the eyes of our hearts that we might see You, that we might see You in the neighbor who we don't like, that we might see You in the enemy that's beat up on the side of the road, that we might see You in the spouse that's getting on our nerves, that we might see you in the child or the grandchild that's gone astray, gone to the other country. Oh God, it's so easy for us to decide that what we're doing is the right and the needful thing, and that anyone doing something different is doing the wrong thing. We read, O God, how you are the judge. And so often we take that work upon ourselves when it's not ours to do. Forgive us, O God, for the times when our focus is not on our own work, either sitting at the feet of Jesus. Forgive us the times when we decide without you what is important or worthy or true. Forgive us the times that we do not stop and pray and ask you for your help. Be with us and teach us now. Amen. Would you please look at the screen as the words of affirmation are said. Friends, hear and believe the good news. Christ has travelled our road. He's felt the same pressures, has endured the same temptations. We are known and we are loved. We are forgiven. Amen. We're going to sing a final song, and whilst that song's being sung, I invite anyone who'd like to come forward for prayer, for any form of ministry, to come forward. I won't stand at the door and shake hands this morning because I'd like to be engaged in ministry with people here at the front. And so I'd like to say the blessing now, and then we'll sing this song, Cornerstone. And those who want to stay and pray, those who want to go out for morning tea, do that. I noticed some visitors here this morning. Well, welcome to worship. We now share in a time of hospitality and fellowship. So Martha's out in the kitchen busily working and preparing. And please introduce yourself to somebody, or maybe even better, if regular people in our church could introduce yourselves to those who may be unfamiliar. And so let me share with you the words of blessing. May you find balance. Balance between doing and being, listening and speaking, learning and teaching. A balance that most fully connects you with our loving, living God. Amen. Let us stand and worship together, Christ alone, Cornerstone.
Through the storm. Yes, Lord.